100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Hey, I'm on amoxicillin, prednisone, I'm taking Flonase, and of course there's the Flomax and all the other stuff. I am just a bucket of drugs these days. Yeah, the cough, I know. I went to the urgent care clinic. Well, first I went to the emergency room clinic down the street, and they said, well, this doesn't sound like an emergency. Yeah, I know, it doesn't sound like it. I'll go to the urgent care. So I went to the urgent care, and they were like, oh, yeah, coughing. It was like 3 minutes, and they were like, bang, they figured it out. It's like, duh. It was like, sinus infection. Okay. Yeah, you want to hear about all this, right? I'm like your Aunt Mavis, you know, bitching about her hernia, you know? Damn, who gives a crap about my health problems unless I die? And then, you know, no more one a day. Instead, we'll just have the weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with the story. Man, do any of these have amphetamines in them? Anyway, the topic was dry. We got a whole bunch of stories. I'm going to mention them by name. Oh, we got stories from Muncie, from Charlie, from Jeffrey, from Richard, from Tom and John, Serendipity and Lizzie and Tura, Norval, Joliana, and Planet Z. They may not be in that order because I kind of just went 1, 2, 3, 4 and saved them instead of doing them by name, and you know how that is. Actually, I saved them all from Google and then I rename them. It's like, well, some of you use these names, some of you use that names. Use whatever names of the files that help you store them for, like, if you're ever going to become famous. And remember, if you become famous, you become famous, okay? You can do all whatever you can think, you cannot. I'm the one who invented 100-word stories, and I'm going to sue them. You can do that if you want. You know, get an agent and then get a lawyer and then sue me into poverty? Impecunery? What's the word for that? Destitution. Whatever. Do what you think is right. Or just send me a cookie. You know, one of those big gift cookies or edible bouquets. No, wait, not edible bouquets. They're jerks. Whatever. And just, you know, have fun. Or, if you just want to have fun with this stuff and not deal with all that, ooh, I want to be a big author and publisher and go around reading kids' stories to everyone and getting vomited on in little baby Einstein stores. No, I don't want to do that. Public libraries are where you want to vomit. So that's all the preamble you're going to get. Yeah, there's probably amphetamines in this shit. How about I just back away slowly, and while y'all send out the DEA, here's your first story.
He was an expert at promotions and artistic events, and his next exercise would be at one of his favorite coffee houses. He asked the owner permission, and was given the go-ahead to throw a dry humor party. The dry humor wit describes the act of displaying a lack of, or no emotion. Delivery is meant to be blunt and sarcastic. The exercise would be by invitation only, and those that wished to participate would join with the regular patrons, not indicating their participation. They would speak a little louder than usual so everyone attending would be able to hear.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. It's all nice and dry at the moment. Cozy, if a little uncomfortable. But kids will be kids. You have to let them have their fun, even if being buried up to your neck in sand isn't quite as much fun for you as it is for them. Wonder whose kids they were anyway? And where the heck have they disappeared to? That sun is burning. You'd kill for a cooling wet towel on your face right now. Not to worry though. The tide is coming in fast. Soon things are going to get very wet. Very wet. Indeed.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. No land in sight, no end in sight, no peace. The ship sailed through the rough storm, and most disappeared quickly. The dread and the roar fought furiously as wind and rain slapped against the sides of this frail vessel, a growing fever of force subduing even the strongest will, and the thunderous darkness fed on the fears inside, witness to an ominous dance of threats and horror. And all she wanted was a warm, dry place where she could be in peace, an inner peace of reinless boredom, that carefree nothingness that without warning lets the warm sun through. And this was my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziekutkoff.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Woohoo again! Happy birthday to all, or at least to me. Munzee here, celebrating his birthday, the release of the new Depeche Mode album, and this, the story that I'm about to read to you. Our Darkest Hour, by Christopher Monroe. And then, in the middle of the desert, miles from refuge or civilization, the party bus went dry. Oh, we didn't run out of fuel. We're better organized than that. We had plenty to get to the next town. Similarly, plenty of water. We knew we'd be in the desert, and had provisioned ourselves accordingly. No, I'm referring to the on-bus bar. In the middle of the desert, we ran out of liquor. And there was great wailing and gnashing of teeth, because this was the greatest tragedy a party bus could face. I mean, it was noon, but still. I have a Twitter and also a book, but more importantly, the new Depeche Mode album came out this weekend. Go listen to it immediately. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. It's Jeffrey Fisher here with a story for week 569 on the topic of dry. I think there's a big snowstorm heading my way on Tuesday, so I'm not going to be very dry then. But today, it's all about being dry. My story is called The Perfect Martini. The waiter asked how I would like my martini. This is always a good sign. When they just write down martini on the order pad, what comes back is usually cheap gin drowned in cheaper vermouth. A measure of your best London dry gin, a hint of Martini and Rossi dry vermouth, and three plump Spanish queen olives. No weird stuffings either. Shaken well, please. Yes, sir, he scribbled. I waited for the masterpiece. When the waiter returned, he shook the shaker vigorously and poured the concoction into the glass. It came out pink. I stared with horror. What is this? The waiter said, I did just what you said. I know that slow cooking is in vogue, so I figured the best gin we had was slow gin. And that's it for me this week. Hope you all have better tasting martinis than that.
Hi there, it's Richard, and just one story this week. I like my martinis dry, my women hot, and my cars clean. It just wouldn't work any other way. A hot martini would be just disgusting. The best women are always dirty, and a hot car, whether in terms of temperature or being stolen, is just not cool to drive. Dirty martinis are pretentious, and dry women, well, let's not go there. Some things just work, and if you ask me, there's a natural order of things that you shouldn't interfere with. Sadly, what I like and what I get are two entirely different things. There you go. That's me done. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
When I Say Dry by John DeCleese. This martini is wet, said the man at the bar. Too much vermouth? Asked the bartender. I'll make you another. Two sips, and the customer shook his head. Wet. The bartender took down a clean shaker and a bottle of Bombay Sapphire, so beloved of his favorite Doctor Who character. He added ice and the gin. He rinsed a clean martini glass with vermouth, threw the vermouth away, shook the gin and ice, and poured. The customer sipped, then said, "A dry martini is made by carrying the vermouth once a week past the closet where you keep the gin."
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story this evening is called Payback's a Bitch. During Prohibition, every state was dry. After it was repealed, some cities remained dry. But in the odd little town of Dinkerton, they actually had streets that chose to be dry. Realtors tended to gloss over this salient fact to prospective buyers. Much to Dan's surprise, who found out about said hyper-local ordinance in the middle of a family reunion barbecue. The cops locked up the entire Bender family. Luckily, Grandma was in the water closet at the time and was able to bail them all out. No one ever found out who exactly burnt down the realty office. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hey, everybody. Leanna checking in for this week's challenge number 569 for dry. I have no good excuse for missing last week, so I'm throwing it in as a self-imposed punishment. This week's story is titled, Home Invasion. I have this dry flap at the back of my throat, right there. It's been there since I got sick. I've tried all kinds of tricks to fix it, but I can't get moisture where it needs to be. When I use a flashlight to get a good look, I swear I see the flap moving. See? Just like that. Wait. Is that a little man opening it?
Hey, turn that damn light off. And stop slobbering all over my house. This damn neighborhood's going to hell.
Oh my God. I think I need a doctor or exterminator.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 569 with the prompt of dry. Also, the YA Books podcast is back. Episode 55 just went up last week. I know it's nowhere near 569 or whatever bazillion Lawrence has done on his own, but I'm back at it. Well, here's my story. Clearing his dry throat sounded like a gunshot in the empty office. Benny wished he could unmake the sound, which may have alerted his assassin to his location. He dried the sweat beading on his forehead with the back of his sleeve. "Romeo, oh Romeo," a dry female voice rasped over the intercom. "Wherefore art thou, Romeo?" He knew the voice, his former partner, Juliet. She must have been assigned his elimination. He also knew the only place to access the intercom system was three floors up. Benny ran for the stairwell and burst through the door. Juliet stood there, smiling. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tura Brazino here, with a story on the subject, dry. After painting the stroke, sit and examine it closely. In the first few minutes, the surface sets into a liquid crystal. But the real drying process begins from the wall and proceeds outwards. As it approaches the surface, the appearance makes its second change, as the subsurface scattering is reduced in solid paint. Finally comes the moment that watchers live for, when the topmost layer, a few molecules deep, transitions into amorphous glass, giving the glossy reflection a rich, fractal complexity. If you share our enthusiasm for watching paint dry, help us lobby for it to become an Olympic sport.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
All right, okay. Where's the announcement? Okay, here it is. Is there a unit of dryness like there is for distance, time, and temperature? What would it measure? Parts of moisture per million? What would the unit of dryness be called? Is there a scientist famous for experiments and research into dryness? It would probably be named after them. And you'd see it on clothes dryers and hair dryers and martini mixes and baby diapers. Oh, and humor. Dry humor. Maybe the unit of measurement could be named after it. Rights. For Stephen Wright, the driest comedian in history. Well, driest humor. I bet he sweats like a goddamn pig.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of dry. Yay! Okay, the cough is starting to come back. I better drink some water. Anyway, that's it for this week's weekly challenge. Next week's topic is a pick two. Maybe I should bring it up and open a new mist. Stop biting my fingers. You're a good little girl. Yes, you are. Okay, so it's join. Oh, shit, that's a period, not a comma. Aspirin, gravy, mercantile. I spelled that wrong, and you'll hear me babbling through that. And do I need to still do separate little mini-episodes on the whatever? Can I just make those my random babbles for the week? How does that feel? Let me know in a comment or whatever, if you ever comment or whatever. Polar, clay, eggshell, and juniper. Also, another thing on Facebook, I have created a separate fictional character page, as if they're really fictional. They're all real. For a certain pain-in-the-ass robot. Man, I've got just pages everywhere, and yet I'm doing my best to stay under the radar for the world. Because the last thing you need is to become a somebody. I just want to write. Do you just want to write? I know. So, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Hey, drop me a line. I miss you. Maybe I'll even do an interview of someone someday. You know, whatever. Screw it. That takes effort. Thank you all for listening, and as always, keep it brief.